from the latest happenings on the diamond.
Look, this team, they will find a lot of ways to surprise you. And I think the fact of like how they got here, how they won so many games.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
I guess what lead feels safe to you as the Brewers wrap up the final month-ish of the year?
Clinched feels safe to me.
Yeah, at least 7 with 6 to play, something like that.
Yeah.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Century Foods. Win the ultimate baseball fan experience at Century Foods. Return the entry form found in the weekly ad to any Century by July 24th. Century Foods, the best meat in town.
Opening day is tomorrow. Brewers home opener is going to be happening next Tuesday. We've got some cool things we're going to be doing here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy for the home opener for the Brewers, but they'll open things up tomorrow afternoon. I guess I should say hopefully opening things up, Chewy, because the weather forecast in New York, not looking great. Brewers opening up the season against the Mets in New York. They always build in that day where, so opening day is tomorrow, and then Friday is kind of the built-in day of, okay, well, if we can't play Thursday, then Friday becomes opening day, and then you really kind of start with the regular schedule. Not looking great weather-wise, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that they get the game in tomorrow, but regardless, it looks like it's going to be wet.
Why don't they start all these games off in either Dome Stadium or somewhere warm?
Because baseball, Chewy, is always going to baseball.
Okay.
They used to do that. Like, the Brewers used to open up at home. They would have kind of a longer homestand to kind of start the season because, well, they've got a roof on their stadium. So why not go to a place where you know those games can be played? Excited to talk about the Brewers with our friend Sophia Minert. She is back for the baseball season, back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But, Sophia, before we get to baseball, because I know you're a Marquette alum, you did some stuff on TV with Shaka Smart, Inside Marquette Basketball, all those sorts of things. So as a Marquette person, how excited for Friday are you and a trip to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 11 years?
I am, well, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi to you guys. Great to be on with you guys. I am so fired up. I think this has been one of the most fun teams, I think, that Marquette has had to watch. And you know, they came in with crazy expectations after last year. And I just think I've loved watching them play, you know, and you mentioned the show Inside Marquette Basketball that I've been able to do with Shaka the last couple seasons. And he's so great to talk to. He's so deep. He cares so much. I think you saw like the emotion come out of him after the win in the post game interview when he was talking about how much he loves this team and how much he doesn't want the season to end. All of that is very real if you spend any time around him. So I'm fired up. I really feel like this is a team that, you know, could advance to the Final Four and hopefully beyond. So I'm fired up for Friday.
So, Sophia, pivoting to the Brewers, we've been used to the past couple of years the strength of this team being its starting pitching rotation. That's not going to be the case this year, losing Burns. What's going to be the strength of this team moving forward, do you think?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think it's going to be a different puzzle for the pitching staff. As you said, they're missing some significant arms with Corbin Burns and with Brandon Woodruff. But I think something that's going to be really fun to watch with this team is just like their youth. They're going to have maybe as many as 12 players on the opening day roster that it'll be their first time for opening day. So you think about that youth, and then you think about some of the young guys that we got to see last year, like Sal Frelick and Joey Weimer and Garrett Mitchell, who unfortunately is hurt now. Bryce Terang, who had such an amazing year. Then you've got Jackson Turio coming up, who's got so much potential. I think we're all really excited to see what he can do in his rookie year. I think they're just really excited about, you know, the talent that they have in their position player group. They're extremely versatile. They're young. They're hungry. The pitching staff is going to look different. There's no doubt about it. But you've got Freddie Peralta back. He's going to get the opening day start. Wade Miley should be back soon, coming back from his injury. And then there's going to be other guys that are going to have to step up. And I think the bullpen was probably an area where we had the most questions last year. They ended up being one of the best bullpens in the National League, and you're essentially returning all of them. We know Devin's going to start on the IL, but hopefully get him back before the All-Star break. So it's going to be a different-looking Brewers team, but I still think there's going to be a ton of players for fans that they're going to love to watch, and we're going to watch this team kind of grow up together.
Fans for a while, Sophia Minert joins us, as she does each and every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Fans have been clamoring for Christian Yelich of 2018-2019. And I want to temper my expectations because it's only spring training, but there was one ball that he hit in particular that I don't know the last time he hit a ball that far in spring training. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like he had a really good spring. Should I be tempering my expectations? I want to get excited, but again, it's spring training and you can never put too much into it, right?
Yeah, that's the joy of spring training is is you're like, what does this all really mean? But no, I think you're absolutely right, Gabe. Is, you know, Christian did have a really good spring. He had almost 40 at bats. He had a couple home runs in there. It was opposite field contact. I mean, look, I would also point to last year. I don't know what more you could have asked from Christian Yelich last year. He played in almost 150 games. He was out there essentially every day. He was playing a lot of left field. His defense was better. He had, I think, 19 homers, stole over 20 bases. Like, he was in there every day and in the leadoff spot. So in terms of a health and production standpoint, like, I know that the standard for him will always be those 2018 and 2019 seasons because that's what he's capable of doing. And when we've seen what he looks like when he's at his peak. But again, I would just say that, like, what he did last year, if you could get another year like that from him, I think they would be thrilled. And I think Christian would be really happy. Christian's always trying to get back to that place. But I think probably any athlete would tell you that's, like, the hardest part of sports, right, is repeating, you know, success that you've had in the past.
So Sophia, would your advice for Brewers fans be, look at last year's Packer team where the expectations were very low. I think a lot of people had them winning six games. Struggled the first half of the season and then kind of figured it out and wound up doing real well getting into the playoffs. Is that, should people be like looking at the parallels there with this team where they may struggle early on and hopefully figure it out later in the season?
Yeah, I think anything is possible. I think you're using the Packers as an example. I'd even look at last year's Brewers team as an example. Yes, they were, you know, last year they had that top line pitching staff, but still nobody last year pitched the Brewers to win the Central. I'm not sure many people would have pitched them to win 92 games. And, you know, even with the pitching staff that they had last year, they didn't have Brandon Woodruff for a majority of the season. They had a terrific bullpen. And they were counting on a lot of rookies in the lineup. And there's ups and downs that come with that. And we're going to see that again this year. We're going to see that with Churio. We're going to see that with, you know, the quote-unquote sophomores, you know, those rookies from last year, year two. But they come in with so much more experience. They come in with so much more confidence. They know what to expect now. I just think they're so much more prepared. So, and then you add a guy like Rhys Hoskins, right, who's probably the biggest addition from the offseason. If you can get him healthy and you can get a productive Rhys Hoskins, he's capable of 20, 30 plus homers. And he loves hitting at American Family Field. So I think with this team, really anything is possible. There's going to be ups and downs, no doubt. We've gone through this every year. But yeah, I mean, Pat Murphy said it the other day. It's like, They're not focused on any expectations or anything like that. They really, you know, he's like, this group could really believe themselves into contention for anything.
I am a little sad, though, Sophia, for Garrett Mitchell, because that's another guy I was really excited for, had a good spring. I was hoping some of that momentum would carry over just based on the injury he had a year ago. And now, do we know a month, 2 months that he's going to have to wait before he makes his 2024 debut?
Yeah, I think you're right, Gabe. It is really a tough break for Garrett. You know, he missed so much time last year, essentially the whole season with the shoulder injury. And then, you know, it's the last weekend he was out taking BP, getting ready, and just didn't feel like he could really grip the bat properly and just felt some soreness there. So they had some imaging done on the left hand, and there is a fracture. So he's going to get a second opinion just to determine if there's any other next steps. Hopefully there's not. But with that being said, you know, it's going to be at least a month, could be up to two. So huge bummer, because he had really solidified himself in center field, and with Jackson Chourio over in right field. And, you know, he was going to be a regular candidate in the leadoff spot. We saw Garrett get time there. We saw Sal get time there. They've liked having Christian Yelich batting third, which is different than what we saw last year with Yelly as the primary leadoff hitter. So, yeah, it's going to change, you know, what the opening day roster looks like. But hopefully Garrett can get back here sooner rather than later.
When I look at the youth of this team, Sophia, I think they're going to, and we were just talking about them surprising people, but I think they could have the potential to play a really exciting brand of baseball where they're taking extra bases, they're stealing bases, taking advantage of that youth and athleticism they have, especially once Garrett gets back. Am I off base there? Are they going to be trying to push the envelope on the base paths this year?
No, I think you're spot on. This is a team, and that's where I think it's like, you know, back to the original question about, like, strengths of this team. This team is extremely athletic. You know, we've spent the last couple of years talking about pitching, and rightfully so. And you know that you need good pitching to win. But these guys are extremely athletic. You've got speed kind of up and down the lineup. You know, Jackson Chourio is a guy who can, like, bunt for a base hit. It kind of reminds you of, like, what kind of Bryce Turan can do, or what a Sal Frelick can do. And he's just a pure hitter. So you've got, you know, Garrett, when he comes back, who can run, Bryce Turang, Christian Yelich, of course, who can run the bases better than anybody. Jackson's got great speed. It's a really intriguing lineup when you look at kind of up and down. It could be more contact. Definitely going to run. It feels like it's going to be green lights for everybody on the bases. They want to be aggressive that way. They know that they have to be. This was a team that, you know, didn't hit a lot of home runs last year. I think this team is capable of hitting more, especially when you add Rhys Hoskins and Christian Yelich and William Contreras, who is coming off of the Silver Slugger season. So I think they're very well balanced offensively, and hopefully you can keep that group going and, you know, keep them healthy and productive.
All right, before we let you go, Sophia, we have our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket going on, and I'm not going to go through all 32 that we have, but we just wrapped up our public region, releasing all of those matchups. Are there any on here that really bother you? So our one seed in our public region, people who are on the speakerphone, literally anywhere, grocery store, walking down the street, wherever, and that took on grocery store spatial awareness, people who obviously just, like, leave their cart anywhere. We also have walking three wide, like on a sidewalk or the airport, leaving dirty cups or dishes in the sink, people who cut the line, people who, at the coffee counter, just don't know what they're doing. Like, you wait in line, then you don't know what you're ordering, and you're taking too much at the coffee counter. Here's my favorite one that I think has a chance to go a long way in the public region: shoes off anywhere. Like, not everywhere is your living room. And then ignoring when you're in a conversation, wow, that's crazy. Like, you're going on a long story and people just keep saying, wow, that's crazy. Like, that is public speak for, hey, you should probably wrap this story up. Are any of those, like, do you like any of those? Are those any of those that really annoy you when you're out and about in public?
Well, I am at the airport right now.
Okay.
heading to New York. So I feel like, you know, the airport is the peak place for all of these grievances.
Oh, yeah.
I would also like to just self-report that I'm doing this phone call with headphones on, as anyone should do, right? I would say that the speakerphone thing absolutely unhinges me, because I just think, like, nobody wants to listen to your conversation. And usually when people are on speakerphone, the volume's, like, excessively loud, too. So it's like, now I'm like, we're all just a part of your conversation. Like, are you asking for our input here? And then the other one, the shoes off thing. And I don't know why, when did we get to a place where, like, even on flights, like, people think they can take their shoes off?
I don't know, Sophia.
When did we get to that?
Baffling to me. The plane's not your living room, right? Like, still, shared space.
But they even make the announcements on the stewardesses make it now, saying, if you're going to listen to your movie or whatever, put headphones. I mean, you have to tell people that now? It's insane.
I was on a flight earlier this off season where someone was watching a movie without their headphones on.
No.
And yes. And I kept waiting. I was like, surely someone will say something. You know, I was even waiting for the flight attendants to come over. Like, I don't even remember what it was, but like, I had my headphones on and I could still hear it. So, I mean, imagine what like their seatmate is thinking. So anyway, yes, all of those grievances, those are strong candidates, but my top two would be the speakerphone and the shoes.
All right. Well, make sure you follow along at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter to see how all those end up doing in our bracket. We appreciate it, Sophia. I'm pumped. I love baseball. Baseball season's here. Can't wait to talk to you every Wednesday.
All right, guys, have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon after opening day.
Hey, Joshy.
Yes?
I'm pretty sure Sophia was giving Gabe the, wow, that's crazy, with all the noise at the airport, and Gabe just kept going and going. She wanted to give you the, wow, that's crazy, Gabe. So way to go, Gaber!
We give more of our grievances coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.